Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell.
Back to throw, first and 10, the pass completes his tight end.
And Rajah Bell.
Bell has done everything. 22 for Rajah.
Saw the future of football right before your eyes. Just yell it out, man. He can't guard me.
All right, welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell and Rajah Bell. We are back after a long holiday weekend. Hope everybody enjoyed it.
How'd you swing them?
Pretty good. It was all right. Yeah, I have a standing bet with my daughter that if she beats me, I give her $50.
Yeah.
And it was getting close. Now, I give her a couple mulligans. But I had a rough start, and I was kind of like, uh-oh. And it was a little bit hairy. So I'm kind of one, like, I want her to win, but I'm not going to let her win. So I'm still holding out. She was getting mad, though, because she knew she's getting close.
If push came to shove, would you, like, yip her on like the backswing of one of her putts? Like, if it would you
oh,
be
yeah
you
yeah.
would
oh
you
know? I'm already messing with her. I'm trying to get in her head. You got to put the pressure on to make her feel what it's like. So she's getting closer. One of these days she's gonna beat me. But we have a huge show to get to. We're gonna get to burner accounts. That's a hot topic in the NBA. We're gonna do a little topics. We're gonna do a little move the needle discussion. There's even some NHL talk in there with the Stanley Cup final going on right now, which is actually pretty fascinating stories behind that one. But first, let's get to the NBA Finals because it is set, and I've been telling you for a while it's going to be Warriors over Cavs. Never a doubt. There was never any doubt for me.
Never, not
well,
even.
Maybe a little bit of doubt. It's, they were going both games. Went to game seven. They were, you know.
Yeah.
But the end, I always feel like the talent's going to win out. I feel like LeBron is the surest bet in all of sports, him and Tom Brady. So you're going to bet on him because he's going to put that team on his back.
Right.
He did it yet again, getting the win over the Celtics. And then you have the super team who, you know, I hated seeing the Rockets without Chris Paul. I hated that, you know, they weren't at full strength because I would have liked to have seen that. But ultimately, I don't know if it would have made a difference. And here we are for the fourth time in a row, Warriors versus Cavs.
Yeah, that's pretty remarkable. And LeBron with 8 straight finals appearances, like that's in and of itself, that's incredible. Look, Golden State had its own injury, and I think it was underplayed a little bit. Like that Andre Iguodala piece going forward, I think especially when you play a team like the Cavs, you'll see it. If he's not available for them against the Cavs, I mean, you could see them miss a beat against Houston, but it wasn't glaring that they needed that defensive presence. He's the one guy who can really get up and defend LeBron. He can give LeBron not a hard time in terms of locking him down, but make him work on that next level of work output that kind of really just drains the life out of him, if you will, you know? Like, and so Iguodala will be a glaring hole if he's not available for the next series, but In terms of the matchup, you had called it at the deadline, the trade deadline, when they made the trades. This is the team that most of us thought was going to be able to get to the finals, albeit they look shaky at times, and I still don't think they have it figured out. When I watch them play, I mean, it's even, you know, for the general like fan watching the games, I don't think they understand what they're watching. Mm-hmm. Like they're watching a guy, you know, not always just purely offensively carry a team, but emotionally, strategically, like he is out there doing everything defensively when he needs to. He's not young, so it's not like he's defending every single possession. He takes a lot of them off, but when they need him, like he's there with the stop. He is carrying a squad to the finals, and they had timely contributions from the Jeff Greens of the world, from the George Hills of the world. Kyle Korver has held them down at times. J.R. Smith, little bit in game seven, but nothing near consistent. And if they have any chance against Golden State, any, he's got to get a consistent contribution from someone. He's got to be able to count on something because Golden State is prolific offensively. I'll make the case that they haven't even hit their stride offensively in this season's playoffs. But if anybody's going to bring it out of them, it's going to be Cleveland. There's bad blood there.
So some stats on LeBron that are pretty eye-popping to say the least. So versus the Warriors over the past 3 seasons in the NBA Finals, he's had 6 40-point games and 5 triple-doubles. He's been absolutely spectacular. So some of his streaks that are there, so he's had the most playoff games with at least 40 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists with 13 of those games. The closest guys behind are Michael Jordan and Shaq with 4. Like, that's
incredible.
A remarkable stat. The other one that I think is nuts is the fact that the last time LeBron missed the finals, because this is his 8th consecutive finals, only 78% of the players weren't even in the league right now. Like, those numbers are just insane. With all the stuff you're talking about, with the importance that he brings to the tables, what do you do defensively versus LeBron? Or do you just say, hey, you tip your cap, you know he's going to get his 35, you know, maybe even his triple-double, and you try to defend everybody else? Or do you try to do something special for him?
No, I would, and that's the position that most coaches are put in. Like, yeah. Do you put out that fire because he's the best player on the planet and not let the best player beat you, or do you say let him get his? I would let him get his to some degree. I take it back to the first time the two teams met in the finals when I happened to be with Cleveland. LeBron had maybe the best finals numbers of all time. Like, they were just off the charts ridiculous. We were without Kyrie and Kevin Love. And so those numbers and not getting support from, at the time, it would have been Matthew Dellavedova, Tristan Thompson, those players, they weren't enough to beat Golden State because they are so good offensively. And Golden State was one of the best defensive teams in the league this year. So I would let LeBron get his, and I hate to say let him get his. I would make LeBron work for his.
Right.
But I would not come off of anyone else and try to stop LeBron. But I do believe that you can't give players of that ilk the consistent look. So I wouldn't double him, let's say, on pick and roll at the top of the key and let him have the full breadth of the court to spread the ball around. I probably wouldn't double him on side pick and rolls, but I would selectively double him if he was in the post, if he had a mismatch. But I wouldn't give him a consistent enough look for him to get a beat on it. I would play him and try to keep him as off balance as possible, but generally speaking, probably err on the side of allowing him to get off a little bit, but not letting the sniper shoot the ball.
So the Warriors are the biggest favorites in the NBA Finals that we've ever seen. They're minus 1,000 for the series. The Cavs are plus 650.
You have to bet 1,000 to make 100?
Yeah, I think it's 100 to make 10 bucks.
Yeah,
same deal. They were the last, so the Cavs are plus 650. They were just plus 350 in 07 against the Spurs, the last time LeBron carried this team to the Finals. The Warriors in game one are a 12-point favorite. We're going to pick that in a minute. But do you think the Warriors, because I've been saying, hey, it's a wrap, because I think it is that obvious. But from an odds standpoint, like, is it this surprising? Because I actually, at this odds, at Cavs plus 650, I'm like, you know what? Why not throw $100 on LeBron and see if he can get it?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's LeBron.
Right.
You know, like, it's LeBron. But I think that it's the odds are where they should
accurate.
Be. Yeah. Right. That Cavs team is coming out of an Eastern Conference that's not very good. And you know, you caught some breaks. Like, you caught the Celtics without Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. Toronto just, I mean, had like a meltdown. And I didn't take anything away from LeBron, because what he's done has been just amazing. But I think that Golden State is that much stronger than Cleveland, and Cleveland hasn't played well. Like, if Cleveland was clicking and things looked fluid offensively, and we haven't had these MIA cases from different players throughout the first, you know, three rounds of the playoffs, I might say that those odds are too, you know, they're too high. But I think at this point, knowing that it is just kind of dysfunctional offensively there, and defensively they've been deplorable, I would say that the Golden State Warriors deserve to be the favorites.
Yeah, I think so too. Any part of you watch what the Warriors did and the struggles they had versus the Warriors? Because they gave, and this is one where you look at the Rockets and you're like, man, they had a prime opportunity. They had two games at the end where they blew, I think it was a 17-point lead in game six, a 13-point lead in game seven, and the game seven one was at home. But those third quarters, when you look at the Warriors, that's the best of the best. Like, that is what makes them so special. They could spot you 20 points, and even Klay Thompson talked about it. The game was like, you know what? We have the ability to come back in 2 minutes. We make a run, and it's a wrap. Anything from this team that looked a little bit, I want to say beatable, but they're still so tough. Is there anything in there that you saw versus the Rockets where you're like, you know what? Maybe they're too cocky. Maybe they're arrogant. I just don't see it.
The thing that I saw against the Rockets, I think, was specific to the Rockets. It was the style of play. It was the ISO ball. Because the Rockets did it so much, and I alluded to the fact that, like, it could lull you into wanting to do it yourself. But when they didn't do that, like the third quarter of game seven, when they came out, they were pushing tempo, they were getting off the ball, spotting up, relocating, knocked down, all within the first 7 seconds of the shot clock, but with no ISO, it's impossible to guard that. There's nothing you can do. You can't account for all of that movement and spontaneity offensively. The Cavs aren't going to lull you into playing one-on-one with them. Like, it's not going to happen. And quite frankly, they don't have the firepower, if they did, to put up a high enough number. So, no, there's nothing really that's concerning me in terms of Golden State and Cleveland, except for LeBron. Because I think LeBron, you know, if I'm being honest, you know, LeBron can account for a win by himself. Like, I think, you know, there's a win somewhere in there where nobody else could give him anything, and LeBron would figure out how to win even against the Golden State team.
All right, so this point of the season in what will be a Warriors heavily favored finals, when you talk about legacies and what's at stake, I think it's very clear what's at stake for LeBron, and you're already seeing a lot more chatter about the LeBron versus MJ. I think this is one of his most impressive accomplishments in his career, no matter what happens in the NBA Finals, because he was able to get this team to this point.
Yeah.
So I think it's pretty clear what's at stake for LeBron. Like, if he was able to somehow beat this team, then, like, I think you would see a major shift in that, even though he didn't get the six titles, but if he got to four, it'd be all of a sudden there would be a rush of people that would say, all right, he's as good as Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
But I think from the other side, I think for the Warriors, I think people are going to look at this team. They're not going to like what Kevin Durant did by joining him. They're going to say, this is one of the greatest teams of all time, but it's almost unfair because they have so much more talent than everybody else.
Yeah, so I would agree with you on the LeBron situation, where he could make a legacy if he were to figure out how to beat Golden State.
Right.
I mean, people would, you know,
would
his
you
supporters
look at him differently? Because I think we're on the same page. Like, I think Michael Jordan is the best player to ever play. I think LeBron is the best of this generation. And I almost feel like I'm not willing to give up my hold on Michael Jordan like a lot of people are. But if he did that, then I'd probably look at him like,
I would not. He's not taking over Michael Jordan.
There's nothing
it's
he
not,
can do.
No, it's not happening. Not with the resume that's already there.
Right.
And I don't mean to, like, you know, he's played a long time, and there's some fantastic numbers there. You know, I'd make the argument, like, you know, if Mike had done it as long as he did and not taken a break, those numbers would have been. And that's not to take anything away from LeBron.
Give MJ basically four or five more years to his career, and he would have had way more than LeBron.
Correct. But if he were to beat Golden State, if LeBron were to beat Golden State, I would be open to actually having that debate. Like, right now, I'm not really having the debate with myself. Right. I, like, Mike's here, LeBron's there, clearly, but I'm not really debating whether he's better than Mike or not.
Right.
Like, nobody better than Mike in my book. But in terms of Golden State, if they should lose to the Cavs,
devastating to
their legacy.
Yeah.
Like, you'll never be mentioned in the same breath with the Bulls and with some of those, you know, like
the
Boston
Spurs
dynasty, the Spurs.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to be there if you beat LeBron this time, it doesn't, like, the jury's still out. Like, you still have a shot. Like, if you could do this again next year, you know, you're able to figure out financially. Now we're in the conversation, but you could get derailed here if you don't put LeBron and company to sleep.
Yeah, for sure. All right, who do you got?
I'm taking Golden State in five.
Yeah, I think you're probably spot on, because I think there'll be a game when they show up, they're kind of not into it, and then they just kind of shut it down.
Yeah.
Like, and they don't get that hot third quarter where they have been absolutely insane. The third quarter for them, I mean, it's the statistics are out of control how much better they are, because they usually it's -3 in the first quarter, point differential,
right?
+130 in the second quarter, +501 in the third quarter. They're outscoring teams, which is just insane. I like Steve Kerr, I wonder how you try to trick your team into having that sort of start, because he doesn't want to see that every game. It's like, oh, well, this is what we do.
Is it the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick thing where they just don't come out and show anything? Like, no, where they just come out and they're just chilling, and then at halftime, all right, guys, we're going to implement what we want to do today. Like, I
don't know.
I don't think that's it. I think this team just has that kind of, like, it's not really a hangover. It's who they are, right? They come out and they get their flow. They feel their way through the game, and then they just believe. That's the power of, like, belief, though.
Yeah.
You know, belief is – I try to talk to my 10-year-old, 11-year-old now about belief. And if you believe in something, especially as it pertains to sport, like, if you believe it, you can do it.
Right.
But potentially you can do it. But if you don't believe, it's not getting done.
Right.
Like, you have to have belief.
Like, they know they have this third quarter magic, and so they expect it to start happening in the third quarter.
And there is.
And likewise, I think they're like, yeah, we struggle in the first half. It's not that big a deal. So they don't get that worried about it. And then the third quarter happens and the magic happens.
Yeah.
And they believe it's going to happen. All right. So I have the Warriors in five as well. I think there's a chance it could be a sweep. I would say there's more likely a chance it'll be a sweep than it goes six.
What games do you imagine? If there's a game that they're going to lose there, I agree with you there. I don't
game
think it's going
two
six.
At home.
Game two at home, letdown game.
Yeah.
See, I think it's either game one or game three in Cleveland.
Because Cleveland will be amped. And they'll come out with a lot of energy.
And game one is going to be, you'll know off the bat. Like, when that first year, again, back when I was with Cleveland, we went in there and we stole game one. But Kyrie was fantastic, and we lost him late in the game. Like without Kyrie, I don't know how you do that. But I could see them going in there. For me, it's game one or game three.
Burner accounts, everybody's favorite. Kevin Durant started a trend, although I think it's been going a lot longer than that. Yep. As people are trying to catch their spouses and significant others, I think that's been one way you could use burner accounts. Yeah. But Brian Colangelo, 76ers GM, decided to use it a different way. So the Ringer's Ben Dietrich did this piece, and it's pretty fascinating story. Like you just. This is such a 2018 story. Like, you never would have seen this because Twitter didn't exist 10 years ago. But I think it speaks a lot to the psychology of Twitter and the way people use it and the way they're impacted by people's opinions. Because Brian Colangelo was tired of getting ripped, you know, compared to Sam Hinkie. People love the process, especially now that it's worked. And I think Brian Colangelo is like, hold on a second. I'm the GM now. We're starting to win. So he wanted a little bit of love. So... you know how you go out and get that message out?
How you do it.
You create a couple fake Twitter accounts.
Not how you do it.
You go out there and you start bashing people. You start planting stories. You start leaking medical reports.
No support for that.
No. The worst offense that's in this report.
That's a criminal offense, isn't it? Like they're like HIPAA laws and stuff.
Yeah, I think there are some things that are in there that are pretty serious. So he had up to 5 burner accounts that he's been accused of having. So he came out to admitting to having one of them.
Right.
And when this Ben Dietrich approached the Sixers.
So you have one, right. But the other 4 are not you.
Well, those ones, he's not admitting to those, but those ones were simultaneous. Like the call comes in to question the Sixers about Colangelo's accounts.
Yes.
And almost immediately, like the same day, those other ones go like blind. They go private. They're switched to private accounts, the ones that he was accusing him of. So basically, it's kind of. All right, you look at the big picture, you look at all of this that's going down, and basically Brian Colangelo has been busted. Now, some of the things he's been that he's tweeted out there are pretty funny, like when you think about them. He said, he had a reply to Sam Hinkie. He said, hey, how's the teaching at Stanford going? Another comment he had was, BC is a class act and not a bad guy, talking about himself as BC. It's a lot. There was another one, alternative fact. Joel is not the future of the franchise, so who cares if he's not 100%? Let's exploit him. Joel Embiid came out and actually defended him, said he doesn't believe that it happened. This is nuts, though, for a guy of his stature and a position that he's got in one of these up-and-coming franchises, which have, you know, they look like the future of the Eastern Conference, them and the Celtics. It looks like Brian Colangelo could be in trouble.
No, it's not looking like BC is in trouble. And I'm I like BC. I like
you guys
the family.
Have history.
I like Jerry. Yeah, they signed me with Mike D'Antoni and David Griffin and them when I went to Phoenix. So I know all of them. I don't know them like that. I'm not on social media like that. So I can't speak to the accounts. But this is what I know, Danny, and I said it before. When you played or when you're in that arena – and general managers and like owners may be different, but general managers and you know executives are employees of the team, right? And you're to some degree in the fight with the players. Like when I was in the front office at Cleveland, I hung on wins and losses like I was a player. Like I'm invested in that. And so the fans talking about the product is never good for you to be involved in that conversation.
Right.
Like as a player, it was so counterproductive for me to be reading the papers or reading the blogs or seeing what such and such had to say about me going 0-7 last night. Like it was only hurting. And my want to get back at them, my need to fire back, like I had to suppress that even if I saw it by for some reason, like say my mom called me and was like, hey, did you hear about what that?
Right.
Like I had to suppress that urge. It was not helping. And executives have to do that too. And so social media, I just think, I get we live in the day and age of it, and if you're not on it, like I'm a dinosaur and I got it, but it's not a good thing. It's not when you don't have the ability all the time to sit back and take the 10, 15 seconds it needs to calm down and you're just firing out, like it's not good. And he's in a mess right now. This is a mess. Like we talked about it before we came on air. His job could be in jeopardy.
Yeah.
Like he very
most likely he's probably going to lose his job.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible to me though. But off of a need to defend yourself in the job that is yours already, bro.
Right.
Like, don't let anybody judge you for that.
The accounts he was going after were like, really? You're gonna stoop to that level to and here's the thing, because I am totally with you. When I was on the Giants and I was starting, I would insulate myself as much as I could from negative headlines, from negative articles, because you know they're out there,
right.
No matter what. No matter if you're playing, and I would try to do the same thing if I was playing good. You know, like, sure. I didn't want to get too start reading too much into my own success. There wasn't a whole lot of it, but when it was there, I was like, oh, I don't want to be there. And you could literally, you could do that. You could turn off the TV. You could turn. Now it's almost impossible.
No, dude, you
to
turn
shut it off.
You turn Twitter off.
Yeah, but
you turn off Twitter. You turn off Instagram. Like, you don't do it.
You go zero dark 30, yeah, like LeBron.
But look, I have.
It's a lot, because, like, I think it was easier to have, quote, thicker skin 10 years ago than it is now, because there's, and I think a lot of guys have burner accounts so they can go kind of just peruse Twitter,
see, right?
Meet new people,
right?
Meet people, just kind of loose term there. But I think there's so many ways you can hear the noise,
yeah.
And the noise 90% of the time is negative, like that, and that's the voices. And I think that's human nature. I think you hear, and the negativity affects you way more than the positive vibes.
Well, the
negative, it's the nature of
human. You can't get enough positive. Like, the positive is you. The negative will forever be digging in your craw.
Absolutely.
Like,
there's, it's not, haters, it,
yeah, they're too. Haters. And again, I mean, look, BC, I want BC, where you at, B? Am I in this camera? B, like, please let this be false, bro. Like, please let it not be true. Please let them find out that this was just some conspiracy, because you're too good, man. You're really good at your job. Like, he is really good. Like, yeah. He builds teams. Like, he built the Suns, like, he built the,
well,
Toronto,
I think that's
Raptors.
What bothers,
like,
him is that he didn't build the,
but
team.
That should
that's why
be
he's
enough.
So sensitive.
But I mean, I hear you. I understand.
You know what I mean? Like,
I understand,
I think that's
that.
The root of all this is that he's like, hey,
but your track record, track record speaks for itself, dude.
Right.
Like, you don't need anybody to be validating
goes back
your
to
work.
Him letting all these trolls get in his head, which is so messed up when you think about it. But I get impacted on Twitter. Like, I find myself getting, sometimes I'm like, Twitter sucks. Like, and I'll have that, because you get so much negativity, you get so much haters, and then you start researching, like, all right, well, that person that said you were a bleeping bleepity bleep, like, I go look at them, and they do that to every other person they tweet at. Like, that's all they do is just spit vitriol at people, and I let that person affect me. Like, that drives me nuts. But that's kind of the basis of
that
what
just
it is.
Sucks. It sucks for him. It sucks for Philly right now. Like, their trajectory as a franchise. You just inked Brett to a 3-year extension. Like, things are on the upswing there. You got a huge summer. Like, this summer is the summer for Sixers fans.
So we've actually been accused of having burner accounts. I know you're not on
Who's
Twitter.
Who's we?
Both of us. Like,
really?
Yeah, we've been accused of it. So you tell me if you think either one of these could possibly be one of our burner accounts. All right. So this one is at fashionable Bama fan, but Knowles are better. That's the handle. Danny Cannell looks better in a turtleneck than Tom Brady, Alex Rodriguez, and Bradley Cooper combined, and smarter than Steve Jobs.
That's a real tweet?
Yeah, it's a real tweet.
And it's suspected to be from you?
Suspected to be me, but I would never put out something like that. All right, here's the one that's suspected.
Yours? I love the – but here's turtleneck, I might –
Right?
You know? And then the dig, smarter than Steve Jobs, too.
Totally, I think it's totally a legit account. I think that's a verified from GQ. All right, how about this one? At Lakers blew a 3-1 lead, go Canes.
Oh, wow. That
said Rajah.
Wait. Hold on. That's a real account?
I think so.
That would so be
this
me,
one
too.
Said Rajah Bell's clothesline on Kobe Bryant shouldn't have been called a foul. He also was better and deserved more money than Jason Richardson. Thanks for nothing, Steve Kerr. That's a pretty.
Well,
that one I think is you.
Certainly not a foul on Kobe. All right. That's definitely not a foul.
Chance.
That's just clean ball. But I don't know about better than Jason.
Yeah, we're gonna have to reach out to Twitter and get to the bottom of who's the handles those were, who the person was.
I hate to do this, but you guys know those aren't real, right?
I knew they weren't real.
I was going to say,
although,
somebody set me up good with it.
I get a lot of compliments on my turtlenecks. All right.
I think Raja bought that.
I think he did too. All right, real quick, before we move on to some Move the Needle topics, the losers of the conference final.
Yeah.
Celtics and Rockets. I think this is a no-brainer question. Who has the brighter future? I think it's Celtics all day long.
Yeah, it's the Celtics.
I look at the Rockets, as great a year as they had, and as much as it hurt to have Chris Paul out, I don't think James Harden will win a title as the alpha male on the team.
Okay.
I just look at him when if he's going to be the MVP player, and he's going to, and it's hard to crush him because he played okay, but he definitely did not rise to the occasion when Chris Paul was out. They lost both games without him.
Yep.
I don't think he's got that killer instinct. When I watch him play, I don't think he's got that, man, I am going to leave every ounce, every bit of everything on the court. And I think that's what you have to do if you want to be that champion with that squad.
Yeah. Look, you know, some guys can have that, and it just doesn't look like it. Like, I had a buddy of mine who played with me at the Sixers. His name was Damone Brown. He played at Syracuse from Buffalo, New York. Really good player, super skilled, and really cared. But his affect when he played was really smooth, and Larry Brown hated it. And so he wound up not working with the Sixers. But it was purely because, like, Larry Brown couldn't see that output that you're kind of talking about with James Harden. I believe that James Harden wants it very badly. I believe that he will pour everything he has into that. Here's the problem with James Harden. I don't think he's ever been taught what it actually kind of takes to get that. Like, he's pouring his offensive wares into it. You know what I mean?
On you and say, I think he pours it in offensively.
Offensively.
I think the cool, like, laid-back vibe, I think that actually works really well for him on offense.
Yeah.
Kind of lull you to sleep, and then, bam, he gives you that move, and he drives right past you for a dunk. But I think on the defensive side of the court, that's where I don't think he puts any energy into the defense and says, all right, I got to do what it takes to win on this side of the court, too. And when I see that, I see shades of Carmelo Anthony. Like, Carmelo Anthony never developed into that player, the all-around player. And I don't know if James Harden will ever hone his craft on the defensive side of the
court. It's debatable. But I watched this year, and he was better at times defensively. I mean, real talk, because I killed him last year. But he was better defensively. But there were still way too many possessions in the playoffs where he was just going to allow someone to go by him, no resistance, and then take a smack from behind.
Right.
Like, that's not playoff defense. No. Dude, that is, like, the laziest defense. That's ridiculous.
That was my move. If I was, pick up hoops. Like, that guy's by me. That's
correct. The bigger issue with Houston for me, though, right now, is just going forward, right? You have free agents Chris Paul, Clint Capella, Trevor Ariza, Luke Mbamute, and Gerald Green. Like, Chris Paul, they're probably going to pay Chris Paul. And I'm a Chris Paul fan. I think he's fantastic, but he's getting older. And he's got some injury history there. Again, missing in game 6 and 7. Clint Capella is going to be really pricey for a team that's probably going to want to add another, like, major cog in the wheel. So Clint Capella might be priced out of the situation. What do you do? Trevor Ariza's a little long in the tooth, too, struggling in game 7. Like, what do you do with that? Ryan Anderson's got a terrible contract for 2 more years. You're not going to be able to move that. There are some issues going forward with that Houston roster that I don't think Boston has. Boston has free agents, Marcus Smart, like Greg Monroe and Aaron Baines. Aaron Baines and Greg Monroe, do whatever you want. I'd like to figure out the Marcus Smart deal, and then Terry Rozier will be up. But they've got enough young pieces where they'll be able to withstand whatever winds up happening with some
and
of those
they're going
players.
To get Kyrie back. They're going to get
and Gordon Hayward
back. So they're going to be, I think the upside, I think it's easy answer, it's the Celtics. And their competition is probably their biggest competition when you look at it is the Sixers or LeBron. LeBron may not even be there.
Yeah.
And I think they're in better. I think
what does your gut tell you? What does your gut tell you about LeBron?
So my gut tells me that I should listen to Vegas. Vegas had him as a +110 favorite to go back to Cleveland.
Okay.
And that's pretty reasonable expectation.
Yep.
It flip-flopped within 24 hours. They actually had the Sixers as the favorite now.
Yeah.
Like, just 24 hours later. I think a lot of it depends on what happens with Brian Colangelo. Like, if they bring your boy David Griffin in there.
Where's Griff? Griff. Right. Griff.
Right.
The kids are older now, Griff. No.
I think it depends on what happens with him. But I think if you're LeBron, and as much as attractive as Houston would look, as attractive as the Lakers could look for him from a livable standpoint, living in L.A., I think you want to stay in the Eastern Conference. And I think you want to go to one of these younger teams, the Celtics, and he's not going to go back with Kyrie.
No, Kyrie's not having that. Right.
The Sixers make some sense when you look at it.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But I think he'll probably end up back in Cleveland.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It'll be fascinating. I mean,
Kobe Altman's going to have a hell of a
story.
Like, Kobe Altman's got to, you know, he's going to navigate through that draft. He's not going to know what LeBron's like. That's going to be a really interesting test for a young GM.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So, no doubt that'll be a topic of discussion all offseason long for the NBA. All right, let's do some move the needle.
All right.
Move the needle.
I feel like we need an actual, like, graphic with a needle on it, like one of those things they have at the fan. You know,
like a kind of amp meter?
Yeah, or exactly. See how much it moves. All right, how much does this move the needle for you? The Stanley Cup pregame theatrics.
Dude, I loved it.
You saw it?
I loved it.
Wasn't it incredible?
Fantastic.
I actually called my wife in and, like, my daughters, and we rewound it and watched it again.
Yeah.
It was awesome. These dudes were going at it like Vegas doesn't mess around.
Yeah. It's like Excalibur. Yeah. Like, they were.
Started with Lil Jon outside. Dude. The crowd was going nuts. Then they take it inside. And they had a DJ bumping. Like, they had everything.
I've never been to a hockey game professionally. I went to a couple BU games. But I said to my boy. Like, I would fly out to Vegas to go to see a game.
Yes.
Like, I would go to see that type of game.
Just to see that intro.
The problem is, and it's why I love them, is I can't get any tickets on the secondary market,
they
probably.
This Stanley Cup Finals set the record for ticket sales. Like, the highest price ticket was that game one. I think it was $1,800 for the average ticket price.
So maybe just me, maybe not taking my boys.
Just to see it. But, I mean, they had the coolest, like, light show on ice.
No, I loved it.
Like, it was insane.
And the game was dope, too.
Yeah, back and forth, lead changes. Yep. The Golden Knights go up.
What was my over-under, 30 seconds?
On what?
On what I'd watch for, like, Stanley Cup.
You went over for sure.
I said, oh, yeah, I'm over it now if it was at 30. Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, how about this one? How much does this move the needle for you? LeBron, after he gets his team, pulls him, puts him on his back to the NBA Finals. He's walking through the crowd. There's Dan Gilbert. They're walking by. And he kind of just gave him a little what's up. Like, just a little. There was no bro hug. There was no high five. There was hardly any interaction. Are we reading too much into this?
Yeah, it doesn't move the needle for me. I've seen that relationship firsthand. I mean, he's the owner. LeBron plays in Cleveland. LeBron wants to be in Cleveland. But make no mistakes, there's no real, like, love there. That's
right.
Not a love. Most of the day-to-day or most of the dealings with LeBron's camp go through one of the other partners, Nate Forbes, I believe his name is Nate, who's a really cool dude. He's got more of a personality, if you will, than Dan Gilbert. So it's not strange to me that he wouldn't have much to do with Dan anyway.
Right. All right. I thought because you saw the other three guys, the other three Cavs players that were in line with him, they didn't exactly give him bear hugs. Like, they acknowledged him. And I think theirs was almost like, oh, I better say something.
I want to keep my job.
LeBron is secure enough where he can just be like, what's up? Like, he didn't have to go all out there. All right. How about this one? How much does this move the needle for you? Because everybody's talking about how LeBron has put this team on his back. So they've been getting a lot of comparison to the 2001 76ers, where Allen Iverson put that team on his back.
No. Not even, no.
Not how it happened? Nah.
No, I mean, Allen Iverson did put that team on his back. But, like, Allen played different than LeBron. Like, Chuck would get you the ball, like, really late in the shot clock sometimes. Like, LeBron was seeking offensive help, if you will. And this isn't... Chuck was one of the best offensive players at that size that I've ever seen, but his mentality was to go get it himself. Like, he felt, and rightfully so at times, that he was that good that he had to get it done offensively. And the way that team was built, aside from, like, Aaron McKee that one year, there wasn't a whole lot of offensive help. We had George Lynch. Like, Mutombo wasn't, like, a real good scorer down there on the block, and Eric Snow wasn't a great offensive point guard. So Chuck had to do it. But he wasn't, like, a willing early in the shot clock passer, if you will.
Right.
You know, LeBron is.
Right.
He can't get, like, support for people making shots. So although the result kind of is the same, I think that LeBron is way more willing in terms of sharing the load offensively than Chuck was in 01.
All right, I got another one. Does Kobe Bryant's new book, The Mamba Mentality, move the needle for you at all? The intro is like, if this was
is this a needle?
There's a foreword by Pau Gasol. It's going to be released October 23rd. He's going to talk about how he approached the process.
Like,
did you watch the Muse? Did you watch the video, the documentary he did that won the Oscar?
No.
So you're not going to read the book. If you didn't watch the documentary, I actually haven't seen it either.
Yeah.
Kobe, to me, man, he likes to feel himself. And I get it. Like, but he does. Like, seriously. Like, he feels himself some Kobe Bryant. And I get it. If you can do that, I think he wants to stay in the public limelight. He wants to be this entrepreneur. He's trying to carry over. So I can't hate on him that. But I am not buying the book.
I'm not hating, but he doesn't move the
needle. And anybody who came up with his own nickname, too, right? Came out with the Black Mamba.
I think he probably, he did Mamba himself.
So I can't support that. All right. NFL news. How much does this move the needle for you? Brandon Marshall signs a one-year deal with the Seahawks.
Only because I know Brandon, like, it moves the needle for me.
You know him from down here?
Yeah, I know
neighbors?
Him. We don't live far from each other.
Right.
But it does. I mean, giving Russell Wilson more help, bigger targets in the red zone for a guy who had to account for, what did he count for offensively for Seattle last year? It was like 85% of the offense.
Yes.
Like, that helps Seattle. But he's been injured lately. Like, production hasn't been it's been in decline for the last few years, right?
Right, yeah.
But I still think it's a good look for Russell Wilson in Seattle in terms of getting him people that can make plays.
Hey, if you can get a veteran player who I think will be pretty good in that locker room, like, I think he's a pretty good locker room presence
right.
for some players on that team, I like it. And you're getting him cheap.
Yep.
Getting him on a one-year deal. There's a lot of incentives in there, so he's going to be hungry. He's going to play a little bit harder. I think, why not? You know, like, yeah. I don't have any problem with this. All right. How about a little golf? The Memorial Tournament's back. Jack's tournament. I actually ran into Jack Nicklaus. You were asking me about the golf tournament I did a couple weeks back. Ran into Jack Nicklaus. Great dude. We're boys. What's
okay,
up,
Jack? What
I think
up?
He's a fan of Off the Bench. The Memorial is one of my favorite tournaments to watch, but a lot of it has to be the Tiger's there. He's won five times at Muirfield where they're playing. He's a 14-1 favorite. I wouldn't touch that.
Right.
But every tournament the Tiger's in makes it compelling. It's going to move the needle.
Yeah, it's
going
to move the needle for me. Just it's tune up for U.S. Open and you know Tiger's been off, what, 3 weeks now?
Yeah.
2-3 weeks?
Yep. He actually posted a picture. He was at Shinnecock the other day practicing for the U.S. Open.
Really?
He goes there, yeah. I love how they do that. Those guys, like the golfers have it made. Like he flies his jet up there probably just for the day, gets so 36 holes, and then bounces off.
So dope. Do they like clear the course for him? Like how does
I don't
work?
Know. Probably if he
does
wants
the course
to
get any play right now leading up to the U.S. Open, or is it shut down?
I bet they have a little bit of play. Yeah. Like stuff like they'll let guys come practice. I bet there's some members that
members
can
could
out
get
there.
Out.
Yeah,
right.
But I bet they shut it down a couple weeks out. We are getting close.
Yeah, no, we're 2 weeks.
No,
out.
it's probably getting real close to where they shut it down for the members.
Little movement of the needle with Tiger.
No, I think it'll be a Thursday too. When they actually tee off, it'll get out there. All right, how about the Justin Verlander hat tip? So he goes into Yankee Stadium, dominates the lineup, gets the win. He's been virtually unhittable this year. He's 7-2. He's got a 1.11 ERA.
Smoke.
98 strikeouts. I actually loved it. Like, usually, typically, the Yankees get the curtain call if there's a player hits a home run.
Yeah.
Back up to the top step of the dugout, tips his hat. Verlander's getting the chorus of boos.
Love it.
He's exiting. He's like, what's up?
Yeah, I love that. I a little
too.
Swag. Why not? Yeah.
Verlander is like a sneaky, like, funny guy.
Yeah.
And, like, he's not afraid to mix it up a little bit. Like, when Robinson Cano was busted for PEDs.
Right.
He was like, oh, here comes the excuse.
He was out on Twitter.
Told him a little bit. I think it's great. Like, I love it. I think he's great for baseball. So, that one moves a little bit for me. I know it's early in the baseball season. There's a lot of baseball left. But that Yankees, Astros, you know, race, you know, and we could see a rematch of what we saw last year to get to the World Series. I think it's going to be phenomenal.
You know what I thought was interesting? Like, when I looked at, I didn't know this about, because I haven't been into baseball like that, but the rotation for the Astros.
Yeah.
And then the stats that Debo put up comparing them to, like, the 95 Braves. That's kind of my wheelhouse with baseball.
Right.
Like, and, like, the Astros ERA 1.63 versus 2.61 for the Braves. Like, what is it? Strikeout percentage, like 40% for this 2008 Astros team, 20% from like the Braves team. Like,
and that Braves, those guys were the Glavin,
Smoltz. Yeah, yeah. What was the other dude?
Maddox.
Maddox, yeah. So that, I mean, that's like, you're talking about the gold standard of pitching there. That's pretty dope, though. That's
no, absolutely. Watch. And the Yankees, I think, are going to have to add another pitcher to their rotation if they want to go toe-to-toe with the Astros in a seven-game series.
Right.
All right, let's do some picks and props.
Picks and props.
Where Debo, I think this is becoming his favorite segment because he is quickly taking a lead on all of us as he is 3-1. So, Debo, what do you got for us? What do you got for us, Debo?
Raja, you know the last time a team was 12-point underdogs in game one of the NBA Finals?
No, Debo, tell me when that was.
That would be 2001 with your Philadelphia 76ers. And what happened
in that
game? And
we whooped that ass, bro.
Oh, you remember.
In overtime,
OT.
That little
Lefty
reverse layup.
Yep.
Do the Cavs cover this one? 12-point underdogs.
Although
game
you
one Thursday
say
night.
I think there's a chance they could get game one.
I do, but I don't really believe that. Like, I think that they could, but I think that Golden State is going to come out and pop them. 12 is a big number, though. I'll take the Cavs to cover. I think it'd be like 8-10. I think the Cavs get. I think the Cavs take a L. I think it'd be 8-10.
I think I'm going to say the Warriors cover. Okay. I remember game six of the Western Conference Final when it was Chris Paul was not going to be there. They were a 12-point favorite. It was like, oh, my gosh, that's a huge number. They covered against the Rockets, who are a much better team than the Cavs. So I'm going to say the Warriors.
Very
but
true.
I think there's going to be a lot of public money on the Warriors as well, but I'm going to go ahead and hop on that train.
All right, how about game two of the Stanley Cup Final? The Knights have that 1-0 lead after their 6-4 Monday night victory. Favorite again in this one with that home ice advantage. Minus 155, it's plus 135 to bet on the Caps. Value there?
I think there is some value there. I think this game could have gone either way with all the goal scoring that was out there.
Yeah.
The Knights ended up winning 6-4, but I think the Caps easily could steal one. I think this is going to be a tight series. I'll be rooting for the Golden Knights just because of the whole storylines, all the stuff we've talked about. But I would take the Caps on some value there just because I don't like the minus 155 for the Vegas Knights.
Yeah, I thought the Caps, I mean, I'm not a hockey purist, but I thought the Caps had some chances. I don't think Vegas even played great in that game. I'll take the Caps. I thought the Caps had a chance to win game one. So,
because we're keeping track, I got the Cavs and the Caps. We're going to get with Hannah in a second. The props, though, off-season training activities, you know, these guys come looking like they've been working out in the offseason. Definitely the case for Christian McCaffrey and Andrew Luck. The prop here, who can bench press more? So it's Christian McCaffrey minus 30 pounds, I set it at, against the quarterback, Andrew
Luck. Do we
have Luck.
Any video of McCaffrey? What was he out there benching? What was he throwing up some?
No, he today? Just looks yoked.
Yeah, he is yoked. And he's a dude who gets after it.
Christian McCaffrey
is not
even close.
You think?
He's got bad shoulder.
Yeah, you know what? If they were healthy.
Yeah.
If they were both healthy, you're 100% right, though, because he's not doing any bench.
Nope.
Like, he is limited. He's doing a lot of reps. He's going to be doing, like, 135, not even going all the way down.
Right.
So I'm going to say Christian McCaffrey might have been minus 50.
Yeah, right, at this point.
Move that line up a little bit more.
There was a picture that came out, and Luck looked huge. But the other one here, the other prop. So Demarius Randle made an ill-advised tweet, kind of a theme today, along with Brian Colangelo. This one, he said, he's a new Browns player, but not a Cleveland basketball fan, actually a Warriors fan, said he would buy a jersey for everyone that retweeted the specific tweet if the Cavaliers win the finals. That's almost up to 700,000 retweets, which if it was a $100 jersey would be $70 million he's on the hook for. Now, the other part of this prop, Marcus Smart, a free agent this offseason. We talked about the Celtics' bright future. We don't know if Smart's going to be involved. He said he's worth way more than $12 to $14 million. So the prop, Demarius Randle, what he could be on the hook for, minus $50 million versus Marcus Smart's worth. You follow that?
Yeah.
15, right? 15 is the number? I'm going to say Marcus Smart is worth more, and not from a, I believe he's worth more, but what he's going to get.
Yeah.
I think the cap keeps going up. I think you see so many players that you look at them and you hear the number and you're like, how does that happen? And it's just, there's a lot of money to be spread around the NBA.
When Damari Carroll can make $60 million, over 4 years, and then you got the dude Tyler Johnson down here. When those contracts are given out, I'm not even going to begin to argue with Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart's a player.
Right.
And he makes winning plays. And no, he may not be like the best three-point shooter or the best at anything, but he gets a lot of stuff done. So I'll go with Marcus Smart too.
All right. Let's keep it moving with News in 90. But before Hannah, before we get to the News in 90, who do you like in the Cavs-Warriors game?
Is it awful that I want to go Cavs here?
No.
No, that's great.
I think I'm going to do it. I'm just going to go for it. And when it comes to NHL, by the way, I'm still mourning the loss of my Tampa Bay Lightning. And I don't really know what to do. I think I'm jumping on whatever Roger was doing. This is what I said on Friday.
No, switch. I'm going to switch. Switch with me because I'm going Golden Knights.
Oh, all right.
I'm going Golden Knights. I'm switching that. Yeah,
doing.
I'm going to fade Danny.
All right.
I'm going to fade him.
I'm with you on that one. All right, guys, let's get to your news in 90. Kevin Love remains in concussion protocol, and the status for Game 1 against the Warriors remains up in the air. Love suffered the concussion in Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals and ended up missing Game 7. The Sixers team president has a Twitter problem. Brian Colangelo's social media use has come under scrutiny after a report by TheRinger.com. According to the site, Colangelo operated multiple anonymous Twitter accounts in which he supported his work in Philly, but also took shots at stars Joel Embiid and Markel Fultz. Colangelo has denied having the accounts. Meanwhile, the Sixers made some news on the court. Head coach Brett Brown and the club agree on a 3-year extension. Brown led Philly to its first playoff appearance since 2012. He had 1 year left on his current deal. The baseball gods have given the Mets the finger. Actually, two bad ones. Noah Syndergaard heads to the 10-day DL with a strained index finger on his pitching hand, while Steven Matz left last night's game with the Braves because of discomfort in his middle finger on his pitching hand. And Dodgers starting pitcher Kenta Maeda was pulled in the second inning of last night's loss to the Phillies. The reason was a right hip strain. Maeda has allowed 2 runs and 3 hits in 1 2/3 innings. That was your News in 90. Now back to Danny and Braja.
Let's finish off strong with some topics. Debo, what do you got for us?
Topics.
Hannah, I've never seen her more excited for a topic that we've had. Ben Simmons making his way around the celebrity dating life, Hollywood. He's just a rookie, or, you know, whatever people want to call him. But he moved on from Tinashe because she was apparently pulling Kardashian-ish. So why not just move to a Kardashian or a Jenner? Ben Simmons reportedly dating Kendall Jenner.
That's the baby of the family. She the
second
one. She's the supermodel.
No, that's not the baby. That's the one. That's the model. That was the one who was in the Victoria's Secret fashion show.
Oh, yeah. Okay. She's wrong. Tough. She's tough. Yeah, she's tough.
She's 22.
I hear you, Ben. I don't. What do you say, Hannah? I don't know.
Let me remind you. She just finished with Blake Griffin. And yeah. She dated Blake Griffin right before he got traded to Detroit. I'm just saying the curse. Is the curse
the
real?
Curse is real, the curse. But Kendall Jenner might be worth the curse. Like, she might be worth the risk that's involved with the curse. It must be great to be an NBA superstar. Like, you load it, and now with the powers of social media, like, you can meet people so much easier. If you don't, like, you just got your agents hook you up, wherever that works. Must be nice.
I hear you, Ben. She's tough, though.
Yeah, no, she's strong, for sure. All right, what else?
Good analysis. So it seems to be kind of a Sixers-centric episode today. Not my fault. They're just in the news. So Joel Embiid's been playing pickup basketball, first in the Bahamas, dunking on some short little white dudes. He's continuing the same thing on Philadelphia playgrounds. Threw the ball off this guy's face the other day, then windmill dunk. Some people have a problem with this, but it's fine, right? He's not going to get hurt.
I have a problem with it because I think Joel Embiid is in it for the retweets. I think he loves the buzz. I think he still loves being in the topic of conversation.
Right.
The more these go viral, the more he's going to do it. Like, I think he's planning his day around which court he's going to go to and which video is going to be.
Oh, he's certainly planning his day around that. That is – yeah, you're going to be playing pickup anyway, I guess.
Right.
You know, I don't care.
I mean, he's outdoors on some rinky-dink rims. Like, I guess there's a chance.
And
like,
you split your finger open.
With these old fat dudes in Bahamas. Like, I don't come down, land wrong one on him.
He's just a media. He's just a media. He loves
Debo, was that you out there? Yeah. Didn't he hit the ball off someone's face?
I think that might have been Debo.
Yeah, it might have been him.
I take it.
Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
Chill, bro.
I would take it. He would.
I would take it.
Just to play with Joel, he would do it. All right, what else?
Let's not exploit him like Brian Colangelo said. But the other night, you know, you get these guys that have been to the finals a couple straight years, and it's just ho-hum for them. Steph Curry making his fourth straight, KD making his third in his career. Nick Young making his first. He didn't want to talk to Ernie Johnson. He wanted to celebrate. He did that and then continued it on the team plane back from Houston to Oakland, blasting Usher, your old friend Raja. What was kind of like the mood when you guys won the Eastern Conference a couple years back? What's the celebration song, and is Usher a good choice when he's a minority owner of the team?
Yeah, I don't. that crosses like party lines a little bit when you're playing.
Right?
But when we won at home, Debo, so it was a little different. Like, we didn't have a long plane ride back, so we all kind of went our separate ways and did whatever it was we were doing that night to celebrate. So, like, I don't know what he just was on a Usher kick. Was it
a troll job? Like,
What was the impetus for the Usher? It was just what he was feeling that night.
What song
I guess
was
so.
It?
They were. It was Burn. Hannah, give me some other ones. Slow.
Love in This Club.
Yeah, that's a great.
I
did
see that one.
It's the first one that came to my head.
That's a great call though.
But Hannah, yeah, those. Hey, those.
Look. Plane rides after big wins are just fantastic. Like, they're
the best.
Suffice to say, they're just a good time.
Yeah.
You can have
with
a good
your boys,
time.
Like, reliving some of the moments, talking about them, having a couple cocktails.
So I think they banned, like, in the NBA, right, like, as I started to finish up, they stopped letting you drink on the flights because they had guys going home a little tipsy, but... But back when, man, we used to get it in. Like, you bring your bottle or –
Yeah, but see,
like,
you would still sneak on the bottle when
– Oh, no doubt. Man. No doubt. Or your case or whatever it was you were getting into. It was a good time.
Oh, absolutely.
Final topic here. So today, before the Memorial Tournament actually kicks off in Muirfield, Ohio, the Pro-Am matched or paired today. Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning actually playing together for the third time in a Pro-Am. It would be cool. Would it be fun to play with those two?
No.
Ooh, I think so. Peyton's got a good – I like Peyton on, like, Saturday Night Live and all that kind of stuff. He seems like he's got a decent sense of humor, right? I don't know, Tiger.
I think it would be fun if it wasn't in the Pro-Am. Like, I think if you could get those dudes and play, like, out at the private club,
right,
and there's nobody watching,
yeah,
and there's maybe a caddy, and you could just talk, and they're
awesome
not worried
job
about anybody hearing stuff,
right,
it would be phenomenal conversation.
Yeah.
In this setting –
lockdown
a little bit. Yeah, I think it'd be a little bit polished. Everybody's like putting on their best fronts, like they have their image to protect and all that. But I think these two guys would actually have some fun. I think they would both talk a lot of trash more than you would think.
Right.
I think they'd be giving each other a hard time about getting old.
Yeah.
Like, all of it. Like, I think they would just be ripping on each other if they were playing somewhere else. Somewhere maybe else. They would do that to ham it up a little bit. But I think you would get much better story time. Like,
yeah.
Like, there's no way if I'm
out of the public eye.
If I'm the group that pays to play with this group, yeah, you're pumped that you get to play with them. But I don't think you're getting the real Tiger and the real Peyton.
Right.
No, Tiger Anna, Woods would be he'd be the worst person to play with. I would never do it. I would never do it.
Bro, two of Jupiter's finest on the, in the same foursome?
Roger, we talked about this.
I know.
The real Jupiter's finest is not Tiger Woods.
All right. Well, it'll be fun to watch. And the Memorial this weekend, we'll see if Tiger can get back in the swing of things and get back in that win column. All right, that's a wrap for us for today. We'll be back on Friday when we get after it again. We'll do some more NBA Finals picks. We'll get those for the whole series. And that's a wrap. Make sure you go follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Kennell and Bell. And as always, go to iTunes and subscribe, download, leave us that 5-star review. In the review, ask a question. We will answer them every single Friday with our 5-star Q&A as I spit it out. All right, have a good one.